and take a minute, wave to your family. Let everybody see you. Tell them hello. Everybody wants to see you out there. All right. Okay, great big story. Here we go. So, who's ready for a Christmas party?
We are.
That's just what I thought you'd say. Here's another question. Who knows the Christmas story?
I do.
I'm not done yet. Who knows the Christmas story well enough to share it with the class?
Of course I know the story. I mean, who doesn't know? What part would you like to know?
Ethan, I think she knows the story. Right, Miss Punker?
Yes, Savannah, I do know it. In fact, it's one of my very favorite stories ever. A great big story about a little baby who came to save the world. Well, if that's the case, Mackenzie, you're in for a very special night tonight. In fact, I think all of you are going to enjoy what we've got planned.
The invitation said something about a Christmas telethon. What does that mean?
Oh, I know what a telethon is. It's really long. I know because my uncle was in one. Remember, ever, never, ever met, and he was number 317, and I was surprised his legs didn't fall off, and...
Oh, Gabby, that's a marathon. A telethon is where people call and give money for a real important cause. Everybody knows that.
Well, evidently everyone but Gabby. So, Miss Parker, what are we raising money for? New Xboxes for Sunday school? A candy machine in the hallway? What is it?
Well, Miles, while those are really wonderful suggestions, this kind of telethon's a little bit different. Tonight we're going to take turns telling the Christmas story. You know, a tell-a-thon. Here's how it's going to work. Each of you is going to get a piece of paper out of my box, and whatever it says, that's the part of the Christmas story you will tell. Okay, did everyone get a piece of paper?
I got it.
Oh.
Very good, Ethan. The story really did begin with God. What makes it so great is that he didn't keep the story to himself. He included all of us.
Can I please come in?
Well, Gabby, what's on your piece of paper?
Well, I didn't get the piece of paper
in reaching
for. It was a
Amanda's
on that one, but when I looked at the piece of paper, I got it was okay. It's actually, it was the word I was hoping for.
Is it just me, or is she taking the long way to Bethlehem?
All right, Gabby, how about you tell us about the angels?
In 50 words or less.
Okay. I know everybody thinks they call me Gabby because I talk a lot, but that's not true. Well, maybe I do talk a lot, but that's not why they call me that. See, Gabby is short for my real name, which is Gabrielle, which is almost like the angel in the Christmas story who...
Breathe, Gabby. Breathe.
Talk to Joseph and the family.
That's right, Ethan. Whose piece of paper said shepherds?
That would be me, but something tells me by the time we get done with the Gabby-thon, we won't have any time for a telethon.
I have an idea. Why don't you and Gabby tell us the next part of the story together?
Meanwhile, there were some shepherds out on the hill just trying to chill, and they were fine until this angel named Bill. What? Hey, it rhymes. Plus, the Bible says there was a bunch of angels. Surely one of them was named Bill.
See now, who haven't we heard from yet? Mackenzie, what about you? What is it, Mackenzie? You were so excited earlier.
Well, to be honest, I was hoping to be that angel or Mary, but I didn't really know who it was.
Makes sense to me. Ladies and gentlemen, playing the part of the three wise men is Mac, Ken, and Z.
Well, you can all laugh if you want to, but do you know the real meaning of the name Kenzie?
Oh, I have a feeling we're about to.
It actually means the firstborn of the wise ruler.
Is he making this stuff up?
I don't know if I've ever heard that before, but I know Ethan well enough to know that he is usually right about these kinds of things. Well, Savannah, I think you're the only one left. Are you ready to tell your part of the story? Well, why don't you read it for the class and just do the best you can. Savannah, how do you think those words fit into the Christmas story?
Well, I've been thinking about that while I was listening to everyone else. I can't stop thinking about the word whosoever. I mean, I know God sent his son, and that he was born in Bethlehem to angels and shepherds. I guess I never really thought about how he came for me, too. Miss Poker, is that what the story really is? And it says whosoever, does that include me?
Yes, Savannah, it includes you and me, and Ethan, and Miles, and Mackenzie, and Gabby. We're all the whosoever God sent his son for. Come back out. Come back out. Kids, I think this has been the best party ever.
I get it.
I get what?
A telethon. I get it.
I think you do get it. This story is too big to be told by just one of us or all of us. The important thing is that we tell it, and we tell it, and we tell it again.
So I think we should give them one more round of applause. And now I can live in a stress-free house. I thought it was when I saw the green light. Is it on? Is that green? Am I good? There we go. Okay. Okay, so I'm just going to dive off of some of the questions that were asked during one of the songs, Who, What, When, Why, Where, How. So first of all, I'm going to give you a few Christmas groaners of questions. Ready? What did Adam say on the day before Christmas? It's Christmas Eve. I was expecting a groan, not a laugh. How about, why didn't the wise men stop to water their camels? No well. There's the groan, all right. When you open your, these are non-biblical now. When you open your credit card statements this January, you will be greeted, warmly greeted with, I am the ghost of Christmas presents. How much did Santa pay for his sled? Nothing. It was on the house. And just to leave you with this thought, I know, people say it's the thought that counts, not the gift, but couldn't people think a bit bigger? Well, there was two questions that started the play. Who is ready for Christmas? And who knows the Christmas, who is ready for a Christmas party and who knows the Christmas story? Not sure if you ever heard of this guy, Paul Harvey. Remember him? If you're old, you probably do. One of his famous statements was, now for the rest of the story. So I want to tell you the rest of the story using that framework of who, what, when, why, where, how. The first question we want to answer to finish out the story is how. And I'm going to turn to Luke chapter 1. Verse 34. This is the story as recorded with Mary. And she had found out from the angel, you're going to be with child and give birth to a son, and you are going to give him the name Jesus, and he will be called great. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Here's the question Mary asked the angel. How will this be? Now, all those things the angel said, that's quite a thing to try to accomplish. But she was thinking a little bit more at close to home. Because the scriptures say, how will this be since I am a virgin? And the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of David. In fact, later in that passage it says, nothing with God, nothing is impossible. Because guess what? That seems pretty impossible. How can this be? It wasn't just Mary involved, it was God. And one of the papers held up said the story starts with God. And it starts right here, the God of the impossible. The number two question is what? This one's found in Matthew chapter 8. Then he got into the boat, this is Jesus, and his disciples followed him into the boat. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. Disciples went and woke him and said, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown." He replied, "You have little faith. Why are you so afraid?" That's not the question I want you to focus in on. Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. And verse 27 says, the men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him?" Now we know for sure from this passage that was at least 12 men, his 12 disciples. And Mark records that there were other boats with him. And even though they weren't on the boat that Jesus and the disciples were on, their boats were probably, it was a rock the boat time, right? And they were thinking, what in the world happened? What manner of man is this? See, it wasn't just his birth that seemed impossible, but it was his life that somebody could say, "Stop, wind," and it stopped. The third question is why? Luke chapter 24. Jesus had died. He was in the tomb. But on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the people that came to the tomb, when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly, two men in clothes that gleamed with lightning, in other words, angels, stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But this time, it wasn't Mary that asked the question. It wasn't a group of people that asked the question, but it was actually angels asked the question. Question being, why do you look for the living among the dead? He's not here. He's risen. So we have the question, how? How can this be? Mary asked. God says, "I'll take care of it. It's done." We have the question asked by the men on the boat and other boats. What kind of man is this that even the waves, and God says, "I got that too. Check that one off the list." And the angels had to remind those that were in the tomb, why? Why are you in here looking for somebody dead? He's not dead. He's living. So it wasn't just a single person, Mary. It wasn't just a group of people. Even the beings above the earth asked questions. Now the fourth question, the first three questions were asked of Jesus by others. This time the fourth question is going to be Jesus asking the question of people. And it's found in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Jesus was in the region of Caesarea Philippi, near the lake. Sea of Galilee. He asked his disciples, okay, who do people say that the Son of Man is? He was referring to himself. Here's the answers they gave. Well, some say you're John the Baptist. Others say you're Elijah. And still others, Maybe Jeremiah or one of the prophets. Jesus, as he was known to do, kind of turned the tables and said, I really have a more important question than what do others say about me. I want to know what you say about me. Who do you say I am? Who do you think spoke up? Peter did. And he said this, you are the Christ. That would be, you are the Messiah. You are the person that has been predicted to come. The Son of the living God. We couldn't get to him, so he came down to us. Did you hear that line in the great big story? We couldn't get to him, so he came down to us. I'm glad. You know, my vertical jump in basketball never probably was above 24 inches. I couldn't jump high enough to get to God. Neither can you. So the question is this, as we close. The story was meant to be shared. The shepherds did that after they heard what was going on. They went and told people. Today I'm sharing the story, not just the birth, but also the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the question is, two questions I left out. When are you going to decide about who do you say Jesus is? Either he's a flat-out liar, or he's muy loco, crazy in the head. He's a lunatic, or he's who he says he is, the Lord. So I ask you when. Why not now? Why not today? I also ask you where. Now you can admit he's the Lord. I've heard testimonies, people sitting in their cars. It can be various places. It doesn't have to be in a church. That's a great place. But I'm asking you where. Why not here? And I repeat the question, who? Why not you? Because guess what? He included you. He included you. He did not exclude you. No respecter of persons here in God's love story. Many of you in this room already know God's love story, and you've accepted and says, I do believe it. So I present you this challenge. If it's a love story, it has to be a story that's repeated and repeated and repeated. And guess what? He relies on us to tell it. And I'm saying this to myself as well. If not now, when are you going to tell it? And for those that know the story, if not here, where are you going to tell it? It's not relied just on people that go across the seas to tell it. It's now. It's here. And again, if it's going to be a true telethon, if not you, then who is going to do it? Let's pray. God, it's a great big story. You're a great big God. A God so strong and so mighty, there's nothing that God, you cannot do. You're a big God, a God that's preparing a big, big house with lots and lots of room. And you don't want to be there alone. That's why you sent Jesus Christ down to us so that we could get to you through the story of Jesus Christ's birth, death, life, and resurrection. And I pray this day that your Holy Spirit may work upon the hearts of everyone here, whether it be a challenge to accept and admit that Jesus Christ is Lord, or whether it's just to affirm in our hearts that he is my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As we close today, we're going to sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. I forget what number now. 82. So let's stand as we sing Go Tell It on the Mountain. We'll sing just... Is it okay to sing just the first verse? Okay, let's do that. You've been spectating, now it's your turn to participate. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain, that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, O silent flocks by night, behold, throughout heavens there shone a holy light. Sing it out. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is Lord. Okay, even if you don't live on a mountain, you got to still tell it. Got it? So if you live in the valley, wherever that is, go tell it. Got it? Get it? Good. Goodbye. Have a great day.